welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I am delighted to be speaking with Michael Gumbly. He is the Managing Director and CEO of Mogado Gold. Now, some of you may not know who Mogado Gold is. Why? They're not even listed on the ASX yet, but they've just finished a very, very successful capital raise, raised $6 million. They're ready to go. I'm excited to tell you all about what they're up to and where they are. Michael Gumbly, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to hear about why Ethiopia. It is obviously Mogado Gold. It's about gold. but I'm curious, Michael, Ethiopia, to me, all I can remember about Ethiopia is, sadly, the Ethiopian famine. So what's Ethiopia like? Why Ethiopia?
And honestly, when I've had this discussion with people, that is the thing that many of them hold on to and that they remember. But Ethiopia has changed a lot since then. The guy who was in charge during the famine was the Derg, was a despot and starved his people. He was overthrown, thankfully. Over 30 years, they had stability in a very tough neighborhood. Around them is Somalia and Sudan and Eritrea. They've always maintained stability, but during the 30 years of Meles Zenawi, they kept quite a tight lid on their economy. And it's really over the last couple of years, under the leadership of Prime Minister Abiy, who just won the Nobel Peace Prize last year, he's turned that whole thing on its head, in that he's opened up finance to outside entities, he's opening up telecoms, and he's really trying. He's got 100 million people who live there, and he knows he needs to find them jobs and to be able to maintain that stability, have them educated, and keep them fed. And so he's really highlighted some of these industries. And importantly for us, one is mining. So Ethiopia is at very much an inflection point, because it's been the fastest growing economy in Africa. Over 8% a year over the last 10 years.
Is that right, Michael? Yeah. That's like China, that over 8% a year over the past 10 years.
Right, and it's a country, importantly, where the government is actually investing back into the country. It's, you know, in some parts of Africa, that's not the case. But they're building the biggest hydroelectric dam on the continent, costing over $4.5 billion, a new train line between Djibouti and Addis. It's really much a country, and you go into downtown Addis, and I've been going there for about 10 years. It used to be a bit of a dust bowl, and now there are just high rises going up all around you. It even has Africa's first metro that just opened last year. So, you know, that's why Ethiopia. It's like, it's a country that it's stable, and it's also a country that's dynamic and really trying to lift 100 million people out of the poverty that ravished them, you know, in that memory of yours some 30 years ago.
Yeah, Michael, I understand you just said you've spent the last 10 years there. You clearly understand more, like, so Mogado Gold, it's a mining company, but you understand that there's more to Ethiopia. Is it important to have a deep understanding of Ethiopia rather than just going in and saying, here's a project, we're going to go for it?
Well, I think it's imperative. It's a country that is, in contrast to many other mining, countries that are favorable to miners right now in West Africa and the like, it's new to this. It hasn't had mining, like modern mining there, really ever. Yet some of the gold from Ethiopia was supplying the Egyptians thousands of years ago. The Queen of Sheba and her riches, you can actually go visit her castle up in the north. But it's without knowing Ethiopia and how to operate there, I think it's quite a high barrier to entry, because it's really that and Liberia are the only two countries that were never colonized in Africa. And there's a certain amount of pride and really belief in Ethiopian's ability to be able to do that work. And you're there really to assist. And Mugado sees itself very much as both a stakeholder in our company, but we can't do it without the support of local communities and the stakeholders who really do help push that forward.
Yeah, and I think you were saying, one of the things about you, Michael, is you have worked in Ethiopia. You have done projects, not necessarily mining projects, but you've done like water projects, and your passion is to ensure that the Ethiopian people are lifted up. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I definitely have, I would say, an odd background when it comes to, some of my peers in mining. I've spent most of the last 20 years living and working across Africa, and Asia, but 30 odd countries, deploying some $500 million US of infrastructure projects, largely water, some agriculture and the like. And without having that knowledge of being able to execute those types of infrastructure projects and being able to ensure the advancement of those projects, I think it makes it a very difficult undertaking, especially in Ethiopia. So my knowledge of having deployed, we did water projects, some $60 million water projects there over the last 10-ish years, is really helping us pave the way for the work that we need to do in the past. And it's also a realization that we are not going to be successful unless we're able to work and get the social license to operate and the support of the local communities. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is through a type of impact investing where those people, as our success also breeds success for them. Like, very small projects can put a roof on a school or a water point to allow those people access to water for the first time. However, the long-term ability for them to be able to prosper comes with companies like us, where we're investing in them, giving them jobs, allowing them the opportunity to really develop on their own terms. And so for me, it's a really exciting prospect to both be offering that type of support, working with those communities, but doing it also, with this other goal of being able to found a company from the ground up and making it really successful for our shareholders as well as the communities.
Oh, your shareholders would love you hearing you say that. So it's a two, and that's the thing. What you're doing is you're looking at the social side of things and the community as well as your shareholders, which is really important. Let's talk about the projects themselves. I believe you've got five projects, but two of them are your flagship projects. Now, you've got a pretty good team put together for these projects. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's an excellent team led by Dr. Chris Bowden, and I'll let you talk about them, Michael, and also the team, and because they've done this before and they understand Ethiopia.
Yeah, just to give you a little bit of context, Mugado, we just finished the IPO, but we've been around for about 18 months. And that 18 months, what we've been doing is really putting together the portfolio of projects it started from Chris doing exactly what he did 10 years ago. Dr. Bowden lived and worked in Ethiopia for 5 years. He founded a 1.5 million ounce deposit in Western Ethiopia. How he started was using satellite technology, and we've done exactly the same thing. So we use satellite technology to identify spectral targets, mostly in the Adola Belt, which is in the southern part of Ethiopia. And with that, we handpicked the areas where we wanted to apply for tenure. So that's how we brought about this portfolio to begin with. We then went through the process of the paperwork and the Ministry of Mines remembers Chris from the work he did in the past.
Oh, wow.
So that we've gone through that entire process. We've been cleared. All the paperwork is done. Simultaneously, we've started exploration. And what we've been able to do is Chris brought back his entire team from when he was at Dish Mountain and found that. And those guys, on top of ground truthing and going to the sites, they've gone back to the library, especially during coronavirus when travel was limited. They went to the library, found the hard copies, and saw that millions of dollars of exploration had actually been implemented on two of our projects, Babicho and Chakata, some 20 years ago by an American company, and they never followed through. And, you know, it just takes the diligence and the time to go through, find the paperwork. And some of their results are extremely compelling. Importantly, they also coincide with the spectral targets. So we have two separate data sources confirming one another. Chris has brought back his team. And now, as soon as we get the final like tick in the box from the ASX, we're ready to go. And Babicho and Chakata, we expect to be drilling there before the end of the year, if not before the end of the month. That's how excited we are about the projects. And that's, you know, how prepared we are that as soon as we're, you know, we're just waiting for these, like the final pieces of paperwork from the ASX, and we're ready to go.
So no issues with permits. So you've done the hard yards. You've got, I guess, a solid foundation. You know your targets. Have you got the drill rigs ready? Have you got people ready to go with all that?
The drill rigs are ready to go. They're waiting for the last. They're waiting for us to say yes, turn on the engines, and start rolling down from Addis to the sites. Yep. We have bulldozers there right now who are like clearing the ground so that there's drill pads for the rigs. They're doing trenching. They're going over but the spectral targets and the historical targets again to, you know, do the ground truthing to ensure that, you know, that we're respecting investors' money and making sure that we're putting holes in the ground where it's warranted.
But
it's all ready to go. So
I can sense your excitement.
Yeah, we're pumped over here. So
hurry up, ASX. So you said before that the Ethiopian government are very pro-mining. They want this to go ahead. They actually know Chris Bowden from previous time. And my question for you is, are they welcoming you with open arms? There's no challenges there with any sort of upcoming, because geopolitical risk is what people always are concerned about. You know, it's Ethiopia. Oh, that's a scary place.
Yeah. It's Africa. It's scary. You look at some other jurisdictions and that's warranted. Chris spent, in his former role, some $20 million US to find that deposit. There are other, and even though there hasn't really been a whole lot of modern exploration, there has almost been none. There are only gold mines of note, Legadembi and Sakaro. And importantly for us, Chakata and Babicho kind of straddle that along strike. And outside of that, as I said, the economy wasn't really open to our types of companies in the past. However, you have Sunpeak Metals just listed on the TSX, and they've been doing great. They're doing an 18,000 meter drilling project starting over the next few weeks. Kefi Minerals has a project called Tulukapi, and that's expected to be the next operational mine in Ethiopia. And I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, that's happening next year. And there are a few other exploration companies like ours that are starting to enter there. And that's because the Ministry of Mines is really proactively trying to draw that investment in, because they know that they're sitting on resources and, you know, immense mineral wealth, but that there's not enough either technical capacity or financial capacity to be able to exploit it internally. And so they really are kind of opening up the industry with wide arms to get us in and get others like it. And, you know, like for us to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, for that you can go in there, you can operate safely, you can get the samples out safely, all those things that eventually leads to a gold mine being, you know, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the way you're going to look at it, absolutely.
Being constructed.
Sorry to interrupt you, Michael. How did Megado come across? Is it Chris Bowden that had the – I know you've got your connections, but did Chris Bowden have the connections for these deposits that you've got? Your two flagship projects, which are a long strike from the two large gold mines. I'd like to know, why didn't someone else pick them up, and what sort of grades are you looking at?
I have no idea how Chicata, that's one of them, was available, but it was free. We took the spectral targets. There were some 50 spectral targets, which is way more than Chris had for his project out west. We then applied for it, and the one Chicata in particular, how does nobody have the rights to this right now? And apparently there was an American company had it. There was Midrock, which is an Ethiopian company which owned Lega Dembia and Sakara, used to own it. They, I think, gave it away to focus on those other two mines, and nobody ever applied for it. It's and amazing. And then Babicho, the other one, Babicho, we're actually 80% holders of that. The 20% is owned by two guys. One of whom is a geologist who's working for us. So he's a guy who kind of found it himself and is a self-starter, has been really helpful with the community relations because they know him down there. It's really helped us. That's where the team is today. As I said, they're, you know, getting the excavators going for the drill pads, etc. That's where they are. They're in Babicho. And that's been like that partnership has actually been really a fantastic way to kind of enter into that area and help accelerate the projects there.
Well,
but that's really amazing. I've asked myself that many a time.
Yeah, that because these
a lot of the other areas around it were taken and not there.
And have you got much, I know you haven't started your own drilling program, but historically, do you know much about the grade or the type of gold, or what are you looking at there?
I mean, it's orogenic greenstone belt, and it's part of the Arabian Nubian Shield. So that's the shield that kind of extends through Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and into Saudi Arabia. Grades... Lega Dembia and Sakara was produced over 3 million ounces at around two grams of gold per ton. There has not really been drilling where we were. There were a couple of drill holes that were, you know, you definitely couldn't establish a resource on it, but they were 27 meters at a gram and a half. And a couple of others that were, you know, there's some trenching and
So there's a bit of work for you guys to be doing at the moment. So what I'd like to know is two last questions before we wrap it up. First of all, has COVID had, you know, everyone talks about COVID, but it's important. We're not actually in Ethiopia at the moment. Has it affected the project at all, or is it, you know what, Kerry, we've got the team on the ground. Chris knows what he's doing. It hasn't affected us at all, or have you had some challenges?
There's been some challenges. I think it would be disingenuous to say otherwise. It's certainly restricted travel, so we haven't been able to go there as easily to help facilitate some of the, you know, final pieces of the paperwork, of being able to facilitate getting the teams down there quicker. There was some internal restrictions in Ethiopia of for a couple of months of freedom of movement. That's now okay. Ethiopia has done very well compared to where I find myself right now. I'm in the United States and they're really struggling. And Ethiopia has had, I think, about 70,000 cases, which, you know, for a population of 100 million, and a big hub in Africa, because a lot of Addis Ababa is one of the busiest airports in Africa.
They've
done quite well. So it's slowed things down, but has not, it certainly hasn't stopped us from advancing the projects by any means.
Okay, so what can investors hope to hear from you in the coming months, Mr. Gumbly? Because it sounds like you're pretty excited about what's going on.
Yeah, I hope that investors from us, our investors, will be hearing a story of how much drilling we've done, and we expect it to be extensive. And then the other hope is that those results are absolutely amazing, which, you know, we're not going to know until those drill holes are actually completed and the sample's done. But, you know, I think that the most important thing that investors can take away from today is that Ethiopia is a great place to work. We have a premium portfolio of land. We have a team that's both experienced in Ethiopia and operational on the ground now. And we're going to be drilling before the end of the year. And I think that's, you know, a compelling story, and it's an exciting one that, you know, where we just can't wait to tell you the results probably in a few months' time.
And the one thing, one of the things that I've taken away, which I think is fantastic, is that, you know, Michael, you said before you've worked in Ethiopia yourself, and one of your things is that you want to lift the Ethiopian people up with the success of Magado Gold, along with those local people, giving them jobs, infrastructure, drinking water, etc. And I think that that's just fabulous.
There's no way that we can be successful if we are not prepared to bring them along with us. I just don't see it being possible. And so for me, it's not just because that's a passion of mine. It's because the success of that project, of our projects, actually coincides with us being able to help those communities where we're going to be working.
I think that's fantastic. So
the passions align.
Yeah, and that I can feel the passion coming through on this interview. I think it's going to be really interesting. I'd love to have another chat with you once you've got some cool results coming out. I'm sure that there'll be more excitement at that stage. Michael Gumbly, thank you so much for chatting to Small Caps.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.